Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Excited to have you guys here with us. And just to introduce myself real quick, my name is Sean Moore. I am the director, overseer of Waymaker, and that's our school of ministry here at the church, which is basically a two-year ministry training program. We prepare and propel the next generation of future Christian leaders. It's actually part of the Kingdom Builders bit that you kind of heard my dad talking about a little bit there. If I can give a five-second ad about that, because I have a microphone, so I can take advantage of this moment right now. But you have until August 1st, all right? Time is running out, right? Look out. Woo, flashing lights, all that kind of good stuff. Waymakerschool.com, baby. If you're interested at all, seriously, if you're interested at all in being part of that program, you're down the last couple of weeks, so please reach out to us at waymakerschool.com. Love to connect with you. Add over. Come on, got to take advantage, right? Y'all just staring at me. It's all right. Okay. All right. I just want to pray as we get into this message this morning. And we'll get into it. So, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, your love. Thank you for your presence already among us and moving and active. We set our hearts in a place of expectation to hear and to receive from you. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We invite you. We want to hear what you have to say right to where we are today, that we would not just be people that hear it, but people that take what you give to us and actually apply it and live it and make the adjustments or to be encouraged, whatever it is that we need right now. That we say yes now, that we would have ears that hear and a heart that is receptive. And we thank you, Father God, so much for that to be done here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Awesome. Well, it was a month ago that actually my dad was speaking here on this platform. And he told a story, kind of sparked something in my mind. And I'm sure some of you probably weren't there to hear it, so I'll recap it real quick. But it's a story about a grandfather and his grandson, and the grandson was playing on the back of this big pickup truck, so it's got the big bed and all that in the back, right, tailgate, and so he's climbing up on the back of the tailgate, and because he's still a kid, all right, he's not quite long enough, tall enough to quite clear getting over the tailgate, so he kind of gets enough momentum to get over it, but not enough to get to the other side of it, into the bed, and so he's kind of stuck on the tailgate. I can't reach forward, right? And I also can't reach backward to feel like the tailgate, the bumper that I just kind of leaped off of. And so he's stuck like there in this awkward position, and the grandfather notices it, and he comes over and he hears the grandson saying, "Somebody help the boy," while he's stuck on there. And it just reminded me, it's awesome, it reminded me of this moment that I captured firsthand. Actually, technically my wife was recording it at the time, but captured firsthand of my son, who was 1 year old at the time, and I figured, why not start embarrassing him now in front of a bunch of people he doesn't know, right? Come on. So I want to show you this little video.
Ethan, what are you doing, buddy? Are you stuck?
Buddy.
Are you stuck? Are you stuck? Oh, buddy. Get him out, Johnny.
Okay, how'd you get even do that, bud?
Yeah, I know. Some of you are like, should I laugh? And like, I hope he's not talking about parenting today, right? Okay, which I'm not. And I don't know if you heard my wife in there or not, but she was like, oh, buddy. And then she's like, get him out, Sean. You know, while she's recording it. Again, I remind you just to point that out. All right. I don't know about you, but I think we can all relate. I spec goodly. I think we can all relate a little bit with the position that Ethan was in that moment of just kind of feeling stuck, right? You don't have to look any further than the world of the coronavirus. At first it was 2 weeks, then it's a month, and now it's the rest of your life or whatever it is they're saying now. We're making it up as we go, right? And so I think we can all relate to the fact of being stuck in a situation that we weren't planning on being stuck in, and for longer than we ever could have thought that would have been stuck in, right? And so I think the feeling of stuckness we can all relate with, right? And we can see it in the world around us, and it translates so differently all across this room. It could be something as light, if you will, on the lighter side of things, as just being inconvenient, to the side of it actually being you're confronting situations where things look dire and desperate, and you're concerned about either your own health or family or friendly or, you know, whoever it is that's vulnerable. right? And it can be as serious as life and death, and what are we going to do with our future, our financial future, or whatever, or I had these plans about what the fall was going to be, and I was going to play that sport, and now it's not going to happen, and I was going to go to that school, but I don't know if I want to do that anymore, and so everything kind of gets stuck. I had the plans, I was looking forward, and now I'm not looking forward to it, right? I'm stuck in a situation I never anticipated I would be in, and for longer than I anticipated being in. And a part that we miss within that is what that starts to do in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. And that's what I want to speak to in the time that we have together today, is how do we respond in the midst of that stuckness? And it reminds me of a biblical account. It's very, very popular, very known account that's brought up a lot. And it's about a time in which Jesus and his disciples were stuck in a storm. And if you're taking notes, which I would encourage you to do just to help you pay attention and get what God has for you today, but if you want to title it and you like to have that so it's all real clear and all right, I know what we're doing. And the title of this today is Stuck in a Storm. Stuck in a Storm. And I want to read this passage in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35 and going through verse 41, Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. And it says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind. He'd been ministering throughout the day. Although it says this, although other boats followed. So the paparazzi were following Jesus on the lake. Verse 37, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill the boat with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. He's sleeping on his My Pillow in the midst of the storm. And so the disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And so then he asked his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? So the disciples, kind of like what you and I would do at this point, they were absolutely terrified. Oh snap, what just happened? Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Crazy stuff. The first thing I noticed from this account and from the story of them being stuck in a storm that we can glean from today is that found in the first verse there, 35. Verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. The first thing, again, if you're taking notes, the first thing I see is that there's a promise. There's a promise. There's the promise of the other side. And that's where we want to be, right? There's the promise of the other side from where we are now to where we believe, man, where God wants to take you. The place that God has for, all he has for you to be and what he has for you to do with your life. There's that promise. There's that ideal future off ahead. There's that promise, right, of the other side. And right now, circumstantially, it's the promise of the other side of the corona. There's the promise of the other side of the financial and economic difficulty. There's the promise of the other side of the uncertainty and the fear and the worry and the pressure and the stress. There's the promise of the other side. And that's where we want to be. But what we see is that in the process of getting to the promise of the other side, something happens. What is it? Verse 37, it says, but soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. As we're going through the process to get to the promise of the other side, there's a problem. We have a promise, but there's a problem. There's a storm. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem, right? And here's the thing, and I know that this won't be the most encouraging moment of today's message, but I just got to tell you the truth because it's just the truth, and we see it all throughout Scripture. I'm just going to tell it like it is. Jesus told us this as well. He said, listen, there's going to be between you and the promise, there's going to be a problem. Anybody live long enough to find that out? On the way to the promise, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem. And Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise, right? Come on. Encourages my soul. But he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. But the reality of it is, and this is a crazy thought, consider that the disciples, think about this, their disciples are in this boat with Jesus. And I think sometimes as believers, whether it's implied or wherever we got this from, but sometimes we have this assumption that because Jesus is in my boat, I'm not going to go through a storm. That in the midst of Jesus being in the boat with them, they're going through a storm, right? Life is going to happen. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems on the way to the promise. It's a guaranteed thing. And we see this all throughout Scripture. There's one example I think of in the Old Testament where God has promised to his people this land that he has given them. We often call it the promised land. And he tells his people there's this promised land that's on the other side of the wilderness. It's on the other side of this desert. I've promised this to you. And long story short, they eventually get there. A whole generation basically had to die off in the process. We'll just Spark Notes version. We'll condense it. But eventually, finally, they get to the promised land. And when they get there, they send some spies into the land. And most, all but two of the spies come back and they say, you know what? It really is an awesome land. It's flowing with milk and honey and there's Krispy Kreme donuts growing on trees. And it's so awesome. That's my promised land. I don't know about you. And it's so awesome. It's great. But in the promise, there's a problem that we did not anticipate. There's giants in the land. And in our own sight, I feel like a grasshopper compared to them. I feel like nothing. There's a really big problem, and therefore we can't have the promise. Because I wasn't anticipating this problem. But I can guarantee you there's going to be a problem on the way to the promise. It's going to be there. It's going to be real. But look at this. As we continue, in verse 38, Jesus is sleeping at the back of the boat, with his head on that cushion, again, on that my pillow, on his Tempur-Pedic. He's sleeping in the midst of this storm. So the disciples, what do? They wake him up, and they're shouting, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown right now? You're just here over here sleeping. We're over here. We're trying to fight to keep the boat. There's water coming in the boat. We're trying to get the water out of the boat. Things are crazy. We're yelling and screaming and pulling stuff and trying to not tip over. And you're over here sleeping? Are you kidding me? Don't you care? There's a promise. There's a problem. But the bigger problem about the problem isn't just the fact that you're going through a problem. The real problem is that the problem comes to test your perspective. It's a promise. Go through the problem, and the problem tests our perspective. Don't you care, God? Don't you care that we're all about to go down with the ship right now? And you included, by the way, while you're sleeping. We're all going to drown. Don't you care? The problem comes, and it's testing our perspective, and it comes to shape how we're going to see things. It comes to shape how we're going to see the situation. It's trying to shape how you see the future, right? It comes to put all of that to the test. It starts to shape it. So now I start to project a future where God is no longer in it, where I start to forget who's actually asleep in my boat with me. I start to forget about the God who's more than enough, and I start to almost look, and I'm so now in awe. Now, all I see now is the problem. Everywhere that I look, the filter through which I see life, as I look ahead, all I see is more hopelessness. As you process life and you're making decisions right now, you look into the fall, you look into next year, and it's like, well, it's just going to be more of the same. It's probably going to get worse. There's going to be a second wave. We're all going down. And that becomes the way that we think, the way that we see, the way that we start to plan and process life. Why? Because the problem is not just the actual situation. It's real. The pain is real. The struggle is real. There are real practical things that you got to do and think about. But what we don't see is that beneath that, the problem is trying to shape your perspective to where now I just see through the lens of problems. Problems, problems. Future's problems. It's interesting. This morning, actually, I was reading in Exodus. And man, I feel like it so connects with this because whenever there was a time in which the people of Israel, the Israelites, were enslaved in Egypt, and it comes time for them to be delivered. God's going to deliver them. He appoints Moses to be the guy who goes in and let my people go, right? And so God is telling Moses, this is in Exodus chapter 6, God is telling Moses, I want you to go tell my people something. And he tells them, tell them this. Tell them, hey, I'm God and I'm going to deliver you out of this Egyptian slavery and bondage. And I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. It's going to be miraculous. With my strong hand and my arm, I'm going to do miraculous things. My judgments are going to fall upon Egypt. It's going to be awesome. And I will be your God. You will be my people. And I'm going to give to you the land I promised generations ago to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I'm giving that to you. Today is the day. Now is the time of your salvation. It's going to be awesome. Get excited. So Moses goes, okay. So he goes to the people and says, this is what God said. And tells us their response. This is in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9. It says that they didn't listen to Moses. You might hear that and go, really? Because that sounds kind of awesome. This is what you've been in bondage and slavery your whole life. There's this promise that seems like it's not going to happen. And now God comes and says, today is the day. Now is the time. Good stuff is right here. You're the generation that gets to step into this and enjoy this. It's going to be awesome. But they don't hear it. Why? It says, because they were discouraged. And because of their hard slave labor. The two reasons. Why? They were discouraged and they were tired. They were discouraged and they were tired. Wonder if anybody's feeling a little discouraged today. Wonder if anybody's feeling a little tired today. And what we miss is that whenever we're discouraged in our hearts and we're tired, even physically, is that in the midst of that, God can come to us and say something so good, and yet we don't have a heart to receive it because the problem has now shaped our perspective. And that's all I can see. God, don't you care? I can't even hear the good anymore. All I see is hopelessness in front of me now. All I see is it's just going to be more of the same. The problem comes to shape my perspective, to be my filter. Because what are the symptoms of the wrong perspective? I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm depressed, I'm freaking out, I'm pulling on other people to try and solve all my problems. I'm looking anywhere and everywhere else, so I'm freaking out, and I'm pulling on this, and I got to read every article and more. Did you read about this? And oh, that's what they said, and this is how it's going to be. And we're almost addicted to bad news. And so we're worried, we're stressed, we're pulled, and maybe even on the opposite side of this, you're just apathetic and just like, just wake me up when it's all over. It's like, I don't even care anymore. I can't listen. Just the problem starts to shape our perspective. But Jesus, thank God, Jesus shows us a different perspective, an alternative way of seeing. And look at this in verse 39. It says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped. There was a great calm. And then he asked the disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Jesus has a radically different perspective. Can I tell you, because I skipped past this and I want to back up to this, about our perspective being shaped. I remember for Sarah and I, of course, you saw Ethan up there on the screen. Before we had Ethan, we had two miscarriages that we went through. And then, praise God, we had Ethan. It's awesome. He's actually four now, much bigger than in the video now. And And that moment, we felt like we had gotten to the other side, right? We had gotten to the promise. And so when we get pregnant again after that, there's not really, I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of sense of, okay, we've gone through some stuff, but hey, we've experienced victory now, right? And so it feels like, okay, we're no longer stuck in that cycle. We've broken through it, right? But after Ethan, we actually have not one, but two more miscarriages afterwards. And so then we find out, because quarantine, we're expecting again. You can put the pieces together. We find out that we're expecting again, and what's the thought process, right? The problems that we've had are shaping our perspective, and yet we're kind of like joyful, but there's also that sense of like, okay, but we thought we were already on the other side, and then we weren't. And now then the problem seems to be back, whatever is going on here, right? And so it's shaping my perspective and shaping my heart, and that's where I'm living, that's where we're thinking. And we're just talking one time, and it's just, it's tough, right? Because now it's like, oh, this is what we've been through, and now this is going to be, is it going to be like this again? And you know, your heart can only take that hit, right? Especially, again, so for me, the guy in this situation, right? So I experienced that primarily how? Emotionally, in my soul, right? As well as spiritually, right? It can affect you spiritually. So my spirit and my soul. But for Sarah, for my wife, it's spirit, soul, and in body, right? And so there's a higher toll that takes on there. And just us being honest with each other, it's like, man, I don't know if we can go through this again, right? I don't know if we can do this again. If this were to happen again, I don't know. Can we do that? And if it did, like, are we going to kind of get back on the horse and try again? Like, are we going to, I don't know if I can handle that in my heart, right? I'm tired. I'm discouraged attached to this. And it took a time, and I'll have to condense it just for the sake of time, but it took some time of God shaping our hearts and shifting our perspective that Jesus has here. And he gets us to see in a different way, and to where, you know, we're much farther in. We would have miscarried normally by this point. And so thank God he's already seen us through the other side of that. Right? Awesome. Because the baby's due in January, early January. Yeah. Woo. Quarantine. Making us pay a price in so many ways. No. But again, Jesus started to shape our perspective and see different, started to get some faith in our hearts as we're praying and seeking God, and he's helping us, he's encouraging us. And I want to see the encouragement from Jesus offering us a different perspective, because the disciples are freaking out in the midst of this storm, right? Don't you care about this? We're all going to drown. And Jesus, the disciples are so impressed with the problem. They're so impressed with the storm. But Jesus is actually impressed by how much they're freaking out about the storm. Radically different perspective. And we can see this, and maybe you've heard this statement, right? We're all in this together, attached to this situation. We're all in this together, right? Which makes me think of High School Musical. Anybody else know that song? We're all in this together. You guys know the words better than I do. I don't know if you know. That's all I know. That's all I got. Makes me want to play basketball. In it to win it, you know. Oh, yeah. Little Zac Efron. We're all in this together. And there's some truth to that. We're all in one sense. We're all in it. It impacts us individually different ways, of course. We're all in this globally in some form or fashion. But I want to see this. We see the same thing. Jesus and the disciples are in the same storm. They're in this together. But it shows us something. They're all in the same storm. But just because you're in the storm does not mean the storm has to be in you. I don't know if you caught that. I'm going to say it again. Just because you're in the storm doesn't mean that the storm has to be in you. Shaping my perspective, shaping how I see. I can get a different perspective. I don't have to let the storm that's around me happening to me, and yet it feels real, and the rain is hitting me, and yeah, there's pressure, and there's real feelings and emotions attached to that, but I don't have to let that get in me. I'm in the storm, but the storm, by faith, will not be in me. The disciples, verse 41, they're absolutely terrified. They're like, who is this guy? They asked each other, even the wind and the waves obey him. Our perspective will be based either on the problem or the person of Jesus. We got a choice to make. When the pressure's on, when we get some bad news, more information comes in, right? When I read another Facebook post, or whatever. It's getting to me, right? I got a choice to make. Is my perspective, my mind, and my heart, where I am at in my soul and in my spirit and in my thinking, the way I look at the future, how is it that I'm going to see it? Am I going to see it through the lens of the problem or the person of Jesus? That's the decision. And that's the fight. Because the problem is going to demand that we are in awe of it. But we see the disciples go on a journey from in the beginning, they're in awe and they're terrified of the storm, to where at the end, they're in awe of Jesus. And that's the same journey that you and I have to go on, day in and day out. Here comes another problem. Nope, I will not let my perspective be shaped by that problem. I will let it be shaped by the person of Jesus. And what do we see in the person of Jesus? He shows us two responses that really stick out to me. Of how he responds, how his, we see his perspective in this. Number one, what happens? He sleeps in the storm. He sleeps in it. He sleeps in the storm, which shows us his peace, his rest. He sleeps in the storm. You know, you can sleep in the storm. Through the storm, you're in it. It's around you, it's hitting you, the water's coming in. But even in the midst of that, the storm doesn't have to be in you, that you too can sleep in the storm. And you might say, I don't know about that, Sean. Really? Because, I mean, that's Jesus. Like, Jesus, he's the Son of God. I mean, he's kind of a big deal. Of course, he's sleeping in the storm. He's awesome. Like, he's the goal. Like, I'm not there. That can't be me. That can't be my approach. That can't be the way that I respond to it. I don't know if I can sleep in the storm. He's got something that I don't. But what does Jesus say? Look at this in John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Listen, the same peace that enabled Jesus to sleep in the midst of that storm is the same peace that he says, "I give it to you." If Jesus is your Lord, you've surrendered your life to him. Not just, well, I go to church, therefore I'm a Christian. No, have you actually surrendered your life to him, called upon him, made him the Lord and Savior of your life? If you've done that, Jesus turns to you and says, "Peace I have given to you, and it's my peace." It's not peace that comes from circumstances. It's not peace that comes from just a feeling. It's a peace that abides. It's a peace that says, "It's my peace, and I give it to you." It is substance, and it is life, and it's given to you. Therefore, you don't have to let your heart be troubled. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to let your perspective be shaped by the problem. Therefore, you can sleep in the storm. I believe God would say to us, sleep in the storm, because I've given you my peace. I've given you my peace. And it takes an act of faith to say, yes. Yes, sir. If that's what you say, if you say you've given me your peace, I say, yes, I believe it. I receive it. Therefore, if you say I can choose to not allow my heart to be troubled, then I say, all right, heart, this is what we're going to do. Not going to be troubled. The peace of Jesus is mine. It abides in my heart. And when the feelings come, yeah, it's real. It's real, and it's trying to knock me off and shape my heart and shape my mind and get me discouraged and get me just tired and worn down and heavy. I say, no, the peace of Jesus is mine that enabled him to sleep in the storm so that I can sleep in the storm. That doesn't mean being passive, distant, ignoring things. It means when I'm in it, it's not in me. I'm at rest and I'm at peace. He sleeps in the storm. What's the second thing that he does? He doesn't just sleep in the storm. He speaks to the storm. He sleeps in it, and then he speaks to it. Sleeping in the storm shows that he's at peace and he's at rest. And speaking to the storm shows his power and his authority. And Jesus actually said that all authority in heaven, on earth, it's been given to me, and now I'm giving it to you. I commission you to go in my name and speak in my name. Do you know that you can speak to the storm? You can not just sleep in the storm and have rest. That's awesome. But you can also speak to the storm. In the midst of everybody else going crazy, you can speak to the storm and you can have rest and you can actually say, you know what? No, you can speak to your own heart. Heart, you're not going to, the storm is not going to be in you. And you can speak to the circumstances and say, you know what? No, that's not going to be in me. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. It says, you keep him or her. You keep him, God, him or her, whoever it is. You keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he or she, they trust in you. So trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. He's my rock. I can set my mind on him. How do I know if my mind is set on him? I'm at rest. I'm at peace in my heart and in my soul. I'm at rest. I set my mind on you, Jesus. You're in the boat with me. You're in the boat and you've commissioned me. And Lord, I follow your example. And I can speak to the storm. I can speak to the thoughts and say, no, no thoughts be set upon Jesus. He's faithful and he's good. He's given me of his Holy Spirit. He's my comforter. He's my help. And yet there's going to be some things practically I'm going to have to do. There's some steps I'm going to have to take. But I'm not going to do it from a place of the storm being in me. I'm going to do it from a place of being at rest and at peace. I'm going to sleep in the storm. I'm going to have peace in the midst of the storm. And I'm going to speak to it. This will not shape my perspective. This will not determine my destination. This will not determine my identity. This isn't the way that it's always going to be. And when everybody else is freaking out, I'm going to be at rest. Do you know when you actually do that? When you really sleep in the storm and you start speaking to the storm, you know what people will think? The same thing the disciples thought about Jesus. They thought, don't you care? We're freaking out. You should care. Listen, it's a real storm. The disciples, they're fishermen. Several of them. They're fishermen. They know a bad storm when they see it. This is not an overreaction. Whatever you're going through, it's real. It's real. And when you walk in the peace, though, you can have an almost unnatural, defiant, almost like type of approach where it's just like, even though every natural reason is I should be freaked out, I can have peace because I've got a different perspective. He's with me in the storm. He's with me. I can be at peace and I can be at rest in the midst of it. And people won't get it. Just a heads up. They'll think you're naive. They'll think you're aloof. You think you don't care, that you're not engaged, disengaged from the situation. No, I'm just at rest. I'm at rest. I can sleep in the storm and I can speak to it. I can say, heart, don't be troubled. Do not be afraid, Lord. I trust in the Lord. He is an everlasting rock. And you can just take those verses, just take those scriptures and speak them over yourself and over your mind. And you can do a Google search. If there's other specific concerns that you have, Bible verses on blank, Bible verses on provision, Bible verses on peace or worry and anxiety, and start to say those things and set your mind as, what is that? I'm setting my mind on him and he keeps me in perfect peace. Perfect peace. It's possible, but only when I set my mind on him. That's the only place you're going to find it. In the midst of whatever thing is stuck in your life, whatever frustrations, whatever fears, whatever worry, anxiety, I just want to encourage you. Yeah, there's a promise on the other side. We're going through a problem right now, but let's not allow the problem to shape our perspective. Let's let our perspective be shaped by the person of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for that perfect peace that is ours in Christ Jesus. That Lord, we look to you. We look to you. We look to you. We're not going to look just at the storm. We're not just going to study the storm, analyze the storm, find out the five different reasons of ways in which the storm can hit us. We're not just going to be impressed and in awe. Oh, look how bad things are and almost addicted to bad news. No. We choose to agree with you and to submit our hearts and our lives and our minds to your word, which says to set our minds upon you, that you would keep us in perfect peace and to not allow our hearts to be troubled, because Jesus, you have given us your peace that enabled you to sleep in the storm and enabled you to speak to the storm from a place of authority. You could do that because the storm wasn't in you. And so we thank you, Lord. We say it by faith over ourselves, over our homes, over our families, and over our future, that yes, we are in the storm. We may be stuck in the storm, but the storm will not be stuck in us. We give it no place in our hearts. We give it no place in our minds, and we speak to it. We say, no, you can't have my future. I don't care what circumstances happen. I don't care what feelings I feel. I say, no, no, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my source, and He has given me this mind, and I can choose to think on what He told me to think on. I can choose to think thoughts that are fixed on Him, because He is the author of my faith. He's the refiner and the perfecter of my faith. He leads me in victory. He always leads me in victory in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I always win. I set my mind, I fixed my mind, stayed. My mind stayed on Him. I refuse to move. Lord, that would be our heart. That would be our mind. Not just in this room or in this moment of hearing a message, but on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and Friday and next week and next month. Next year, my mind has stayed on Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to do just that. And right now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you would say, you know what, Sean, I don't know if Jesus is in my boat. I don't know that I've made Jesus the Lord and the Savior of my life. I don't know if I've done that. And maybe you look and say, well, maybe I'm a Christian because I've gone to church, or well, I was baptized, or I did this certain sacrament, or I took this sort of step. Okay, that's awesome. But you know what? God tells us through His Word that the only way to be saved is that I believe upon Jesus. I confess Him as the Lord and the Savior of my life. And I actually surrender my heart and my life to Him, because He's the only one. He's the one who came from heaven to earth as the Son of God, sinless and perfect. And He died on the cross, shed His blood for the removal of our sins. And He rose from the dead so that you and I could have new life. See, it's something, it's a gift that's received. It's not something that we earn. And if any other thing could earn us God or earn us heaven, then He would have sent that, but He didn't. He sent Jesus. Have you received Him? I want to give you the opportunity to do that. All we'll do is pray a prayer out loud together with you in this moment. But I want to give you a chance by lifting up your hand to acknowledge before God, I need to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of my life. On the count of three, if that's you, you haven't done that, you know you need to. Today on the count of three, would you lift up your hand for a moment? I'll look, I'll acknowledge it, but everyone else's heads are bowed, eyes are closed. On the count of three, I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Lift up your hand for just a second and put it back down. One, two, three. You looked up for a second. God bless you. I see it. Awesome. Who else? Put it back. Yeah, awesome. God bless you. Awesome. We celebrate with you. If you haven't already, put it up for just a second. I know I need to do that and put it right back down. Awesome. Awesome. Everyone, let's all repeat this prayer out loud together with those that are praying it for perhaps the first time. And I encourage you, don't just say it just like words. It's not like hocus pocus incantation stuff. This is from our hearts. From a heart that I set my heart upon what you're going to say right now, okay? Just repeat this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins, and He rose from the dead so I could have new life. Jesus, I confess you as my Savior and my Lord, and I am now a child of God. Heaven is my home. My sins are washed away. And I turn from my sins. And I turn from my old ways. And I turn toward you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those that made that decision today. Awesome, awesome. We love you. We love you. Hey, if you made that decision today, that's a whole new start. We want to help you take next steps attached to that. You'll hear about that in just one second. Man, it's such a joy and a pleasure to be here together with you. I'm going to turn it over to my dad, the Reverend Pastor Steve Moore. Let's give it up for him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.